Manuscript Releases, Volume 8, Numbers 526 to 663. M.R., Number 620. Ellen White's Early Concepts of Her Work. We do not want you to feel, Brother Collins, that you cannot write us unless you can send us some money. No, no. Write us. We are just as glad to hear from you as though you sent us ever so much money. I was pointed back to the children of Israel in Egypt. I saw when God worked through Moses before Pharaoh, the magicians came up and said they could do the same. I saw the same work was now going on in the world and among the professed churches, similar to the work of the magicians anciently. I saw the power of the magicians has increased within a few months tenfold, and it will still be on the increase and spread. And unless Israel is rising and increasing in power and strength, and is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, the powers of darkness will get the victory over them. Said the angel, "Have faith in God." I saw some tried too hard to believe. Faith is so simple. You look above it. Satan tried to deceive some of the honest children and had got them looking to self to find worthiness there. I saw they must look away from self to the worthiness of Jesus and throw themselves, just as dependent and unworthy as they are, upon his mercy and draw by faith strength and nourishment from him. We make our home at Brother Thompson's, at whose table we are now writing. He and his wife are wholehearted in the truth. They have four daughters with them in the faith. Their ages are 24, 22, 20, and 12. They are good-hearted girls and are trying to serve God. Their voices were never heard in prayer until after the Milton Conference. We had a powerful season of prayer, and the burden of their cases was rolled upon me. I pleaded the promises of God for them, and could not give it up. And finally, their voices were raised in prayer to God. We do not expect rest here. No, no. The way to heaven is a cross-bearing way. The road is straight and narrow. But we will go forward with cheerfulness, knowing that the King of Glory once trod this way before us. We will not complain of the roughness of the way, but will be meek followers of Jesus, treading in his footsteps. We will not have a murmuring thought because we have trials. God's dear children always had them, and every trial well endured here will only make us rich in glory. I crave the suffering part. I would not go to heaven without suffering if I could, and see Jesus who suffered so much for us to purchase for us so rich an inheritance. And to see the martyrs who laid down their lives for the truth and the sake of Jesus. No, no. Let me be perfected through sufferings. I long to be a partaker with Christ of his sufferings. For if I am, I know I shall be partaker with him of his glory. I'm very anxious that you should form good characters. Especially do I charge you, as a mother, to be kind and forbearing, yielding to and loving one another. This will save you many unhappy hours, many unpleasant reflections. You can be happy if you choose. You must learn the important lesson of not always having your own way, but of sacrificing your will and way to gratify and make others happy. Mary, dear Mary, I have seen that God's providence has placed John and you where you are. God has been working for you, both that you, Mary, may be left without excuse. Mary, I fear for you greatly. I was shown that God lays out the work for John. He must perform it. Just as long as he remains a servant of God, he must go at his bidding. I feel the deepest interest for you. I love you. I know that your happiness depends upon the course of your action, and unless it is entirely different in many respects than it has been, you cannot have life, have salvation. I have written this letter sadly, discouragingly. My heart aches while I write. Gladly would I write encouragingly if I had it to write. I was in hopes that God would never give me another message for you. I have felt agony of soul. I have cried in agony for above an hour. We must study to find out the best way in which to take up the review of our experiences from the beginning of our work, when we separated from the churches and went forward step by step in the light that God gave us. We then took the position that the Bible, and the Bible only, was to be our guide, and we are never to depart from this position. We were given wonderful manifestations of the power of God. Miracles were wrought. Again and again, when we were brought into straight places, the power of God was displayed in our behalf. At such times, souls were convicted, and amidst the scorn and derision of the opposing churches, they bore testimony in favor of the truth. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Under the preaching of the truth, men were converted and were instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, spake and taught diligently the great things of the Lord. I was then very young, but I believed the message, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. I was guided by the Spirit to act an important part in the work of the Lord for this time. I have lost none of my faith in the message. After the passing of the time in 1844, we were a disappointed people, few in numbers. We sought the Lord most earnestly, and read and reread his commandments. We saw wherein we had been working and walking contrary to them, and then we thanked the Lord for our disappointment. The 14th chapter of Revelation was most diligently studied, and we discerned the meaning of the words, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Light was given us on the claims of the law of God. We were convicted that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and we began to observe it as holy unto him. I am so thankful that ever since I was 15 years old, the Lord has permitted me to have a part in his work. Released June 21st, 1978.